This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The words biblical archaeology conjure up images of digging in dry, dusty soil, perhaps in a remote location. And yes, that's what it's like a lot of times. One of the most remote, dry, dusty excavations this summer was a new one at the site of Hyrcania on a hilltop in the Judean desert. For those familiar with Israel, it's about halfway between Herodion and Qumran. One participant in this four-week excavation was retired Pastor William Hill, who's an adjunct professor at Carson Newman University. He's done a number of excavations in Israel, and this summer led a team of six students who participated in this dig. Since the beginning of this program 40 years ago, we have invited our listeners to go and dig in Israel, and you have done that this summer. You're just back now. Hyrcania is an interesting site, so let's talk about that. It doesn't quite fit into the biblical picture. It kind of fills the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Is that right?
Correct. Hyrcania, probably its earliest occupation, goes back to 2nd century BC during the Hasmonean dynasty, a rare period of Jewish independence between the Testaments.
This site has been excavated before. In fact, you worked with Oren Gutfeld of Hebrew University, and I understand he's excavated maybe before at this site, certainly in this area.
He certainly has. One of the more famous parts of those excavations are the tunnels that have been discovered to the north of Hyrcania. Of course, that valley is mentioned in the Copper Scroll. So there seems to be connection between what is listed in the Copper Scroll and Hyrcania and these tunnels that have been located by Dr. Gutfeld. And he's excavated those, although they did not find a whole lot in the tunnels. The tunnels themselves are most perplexing.
I think we did an interview on this maybe a couple decades ago where they found these deep, deep tunnels out in the middle of the Judean desert and couldn't figure out what they were for.
It's correct. There's a lot of suppositions being put forth. It could have been as simple as knowing that Hyrcania was a fortress of King Herod that was used primarily for torture and the execution of enemies. It could have been used for nothing else than just pure slave labor efforts. Could be used to have burial chambers for hopefully for some significant personages, because they are very deep. They're at about a 45-degree angle down into the mountain there. Or they could have been used to hide some of the temple treasures. We don't know, because not much was found within them. One skeleton was found, but it had nothing to do with the historical record to which we refer.
So you have Hyrcania, the site up on top of the mountain, and then down in the valley are these holes dug in the ground, and the holes connect possibly to the Copper Scroll, which described a lot of treasures that were hidden in the first century, part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. What was the reason for going back this time to excavate on top at Hyrcania?
Well, we know of four different occupations on top of Hyrcania. Obviously, the Hasmonean occupation, Queen Salome. It's listed by Josephus that this was one of her fortresses that she refused to give back to the Pharisaic party towards the end of the Hasmonean reign. Then the Romans came in and destroyed the Hasmonean fortress that was built on top, and then was rebuilt, extended and rebuilt by King Herod. And we know this again by Josephus. And then following that period of time, the Byzantine period came in, and a church was built on top of Hyrcania, on top of the fortress, and then a monastery in later times that was occupied until the medieval period. And then, of course, with the Islamic invasion, there was Islamic occupation as well. So we know we have those levels on top of this mountain, but the mountain's never been excavated scientifically. It's been looted. There's been a couple of trenches dug by archaeologists many, many years ago, but there's not been a comprehensive scientific excavation. So we're trying to we're trying to do it right this time and get it done right. And Dr. Gutfield's the guy to do it. Just a tremendous, tremendous archaeologist in person. His co-director, Mikhail, is just amazing. Her ability to understand the histories of these periods is just awe-inspiring. And so we feel like we have two great leaders in this excavation.
You were there for 4 weeks, late spring of 2023. Is this excavation going to continue?
Yes, we've committed for 3 years. So we very much look forward to next year, and we were able to accomplish a great deal. Everyone that came and visited the site was amazed. We had one group that was digging with us is a group headquartered here in the United States called American Veterans in Archaeological Recovery. They are an entity of archaeologists made up of American veterans, and they do work all over the globe as well as the United States. They are experienced, hardened archaeologists, and I can assure you that keeping up with them tested the Carson Newman group as well as myself. They are excellent archaeologists, and we moved a lot of dirt and uncovered a lot of material in 4 short weeks.
We had Stephen Humphreys on our program several years ago, so I was glad to see what his group has been involved in lately. And it sounds like they participated in a major way.
They certainly did. And he's a very skilled archaeologist, a great teacher. And it was a privilege to work alongside him. But we've committed for 3 years, so we have two more seasons that we're going to be helping to underwrite. And we look forward to for those excavations as well.
For those who just tuned in, we're talking with Bill Held, who was the leader of a contingent from Carson Newman University who worked on the excavation of Hyrcania, an ancient fortress in the Judean desert. So what was it like to do this excavation at such a remote location? As I said at the beginning of the program, digging in the desert is not a new thing for biblical archaeology, but this seemed more remote than usual.
Yeah, it's the most difficult of any site that I've excavated across the years, and yet one that's thrilling. The good news is we stay at a kibbutz near Qumran, Kalia, very nice setting, nice opportunity for us to have a pool when we need one, and we eat in their cafeteria, so the food's good.
We stayed at that kibbutz several times on our trips.
Then you know it's very nice. But every morning we leave early. We would head out at 4:30 in the morning. We try to be at the site, which was about 45-minute drive from Kalia. And then the bad news is that once you go as far as you can with the vehicles, you have to hike in the rest of the way. And so all your water, all your food, all your tools, anything you need, anything you want with you, if it's going to be with you on the mountain, you're going to carry it up. And it's about a 40-minute hike up the side of the mountain, about 1,100 feet rise in level. And it's like hiking on ball bearings. All that broken limestone is brutal, brutal. I was the oldest guy on the dig. I took my time. I always made it every day. But you could get hurt. I'm just going to tell you. You could get hurt.
It's not just a desert path. It sounds like it was pretty treacherous.
Yeah, it was. I fell once and actually scraped my face up pretty good, but fortunately didn't break anything.
Were you able to catch some breezes up there at the top of the mountain?
Yeah, and that's the good news. Once you get to the top, we had a breeze most of the time on most of the days. Matter of fact, one day it came up so brutal that we had to drop the covers and go into a cistern for protection. It was a sandstorm. You couldn't see 15 feet in front of yourself. So
wow. So there was some protection in a cistern that allowed you to get through that.
Correct. There are multiple cisterns on top of the site, and we had one that we knew pretty well, and that's where we went If the code sounded, we all knew that's where we were headed.
Yeah. So the cisterns would have been used to keep the water that would have been necessary for people to exist in a remote location.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, although we haven't excavated any yet, that there were systems to collect the water and channel it into these cisterns. But down at the bottom, on the western side of Hyrcania, there was an aqueduct that came all the way from Jerusalem that filled large pools that were formed in the limestone. So there were actually, what we might refer to as swimming pool size limestone pools that captured water. And then I'm sure it would be transferred from that location up to the rest of the top of the mountain. So water was not an issue.
There was a mention in the story that I read about donkeys being used to help carry your equipment to the top of the mountain.
First day and last day. That was it. The rest of the time, we were the donkeys.
Wow. Well, some people might find it strange that there was a church and a monastery out in such a remote location. But I guess during the Byzantine period, there were all kinds of monasteries in the Judean desert.
Absolutely. It was a period of time when monastic desert monasteries was kind of all the rage. And so there was one there on top of Hyrcania, as well as one within walking distance of Hyrcania. And there are multiple, to this day, active monasteries still in that particular region that a visitor can actually go and set foot in and see.
You were there with six students from Carson Newman University. How did the students handle the excavation?
They did great. They did great. So proud of them. Most of them are ministry students, someday going to pastor churches, and the opportunity for them to see biblical history and the context in which we get the scriptures, I think will forever change their ability to teach and to preach and to lead. And so I'm very excited about that. But they handled it well because it's physically demanding, and I knew what we were in for. They did not. And they learned very quickly. Now, some of them only were there, 10 days. Others, like myself, were there the whole 4 weeks. But to the person, I was very proud of them. And the others that worked alongside of them complimented me on their devotion, their hard work, and their effort.
Well, once again, since the beginning of this program 40 years ago, we have continually invited our listeners to go work on a dig in Israel. And you have done that. And you have a good report for us. We appreciate very much our guest on the program, William Held, adjunct professor at Carson Newman University and a retired pastor. We'd like to remind our listeners, we have resources online. You can find information on how to subscribe to our Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. We have information on our next Israel trip in November of 2024. And you can find out about that at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier, inviting you to join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on Biblical Archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.